What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another installment of the podcast, nicely titled, Is This Going to Cause an Argument? My name is Angel Laquita Moore, sometimes known as Angel Tanksley, but also known as That Chick Angel. Tell them who you are, honey.
Marcus Tanksley, host.
There we go.
Is Going to Cause an Argument.
Yes, he is the host and my husband, my boyfriend, all those things. You guys, I don't know what is happening. I just got over a cold a couple of days ago. This doesn't feel like a cold, but I'm sneezing like crazy. So I apologize in advance if all of a sudden y'all hear a bunch of snot and sniffling.
Yeah, get your immunes together. What's going on with you?
But it's this baby. The baby will do
it. Don't blame
it
about my baby.
The baby does kill my immune system. And if y'all are watching, you can see how greasy I am. And part of that is also I tried to buy some new makeup today. I think it's going to go back.
She's up in here looking like Two-Face, a character from... Shut up. Who's that, Batman? Which side of my face look better?
This is what happens when you look like two.
Look like you're mixed, but the mixed part just segregated itself on your face.
Shut up. Yeah, no, I was trying... This is what happens when you buy makeup from Kohl's and not from a makeup place. But I went to Kohl's because I don't know if anybody else uses the Amazon return at Kohl's. It just makes life so much easier. Oh,
you ain't even got to wrap it back up. You just take it in there and throw it on their desk.
And they like, all right, you got it.
Like, all right, they scan your phone and you go on about your business.
So.
They made it way too easy. Last time I was in Kohl's, I returned something. I was buying something else in Kohl's and I was standing in line buying more stuff on Amazon. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And I realized it in the moment, but I just kept buying.
You got an addiction. That's for sure. You definitely have an addiction. So a little bit about this podcast and where you can find us. If this is your first time listening, this is a supposed to be bi-weekly podcast, but we took a bi-monthly break.
Biannual.
Listen, it's sporadic, but we try to be here. So this is a podcast between me and my husband where we discuss everything. We touch a lot on relationships. We definitely hit pop culture, things that are going on in the world around us, as well as just family stuff.
Yeah.
We try to keep it 100 with you all.
And 100%.
And the thing is, me and my husband are both very opinionated people. He is very bullheaded and doesn't like to listen to the truth. So sometimes our discussions turn into arguments.
Stubborn and don't make any type of sense sometimes.
I make a lot of sense.
Angel's way or no way. No, you make sense to you.
That makes sense.
But you're still missing 33 cents though, ain't you?
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah,
because
you already know.
I'm going to tell y'all about this 33 cents. Yeah, you saw.
33 cents, absolutely.
Our church is doing a capital campaign. They're raising money for us to be able to buy an actual church building, and
so they need 333 people to give.
No, they just need 300.
Oh, 300. I'm sorry, 300 people to give $333.33.
And I can tell you, at the 9 o'clock,
I don't
service,
care what they said at the 9 o'clock
they
service.
They said 333.
The 4, 5, 6 Sundays before today and today, they said $333.33.
So this
he said it
idiot.
8 times.
Why are you so loud?
Because
it's
this
peaking.
Is a, huh?
It's peaking.
All right. He said it 8 times during the service.
Anyway,
$333.33, and I'm.
Okay.
Trying to get
so he said, he said it. Anyways, Marcus has had my friends texting me 33 cent all night because he's an idiot. And apparently they know
because everybody in their congregation heard that and knows that. And all those people that stood up in line and said, I got mine right here.
Well, they didn't get my 33 cent today.
They ain't got none of yours because you ain't wrote your check yet.
I surely didn't. So they're going to get whatever change I give them.
No, you're going to do the proper amount.
They're going to get my $333.
And 33 cents.
You're going to have to put that in there. So, anyways,
blocking
this is
blessings.
What happens.
That's what he was talking about.
This
blocking
is
your
what
blessings.
You are. You're blocking the blessing of them
nice
listening to the podcast.
That he just put down for
so
us.
So, our
for
podcast,
the
we touch on things happening in our lives.
And
Marcus, I'm
cents.
Trying to move the podcast forward.
For
we
once.
Talk on things that are happening in our life as well because we are a family. We've been married for almost 12 years. We are the parents of 3.5 kids. And as you can probably hear them in the background, and we love to interact with our audience. So if you have any comments, please leave them either on SoundCloud where this podcast is uploaded, or you can leave it on YouTube under the channel That Chick Angel TV, which is my YouTube channel where I not only put up this podcast, but also pregnancy updates. And we might bring back a vlog or two. That's how the channel kind of blossomed, was out of vlogs. Also, you can watch this on iTunes and Google Play. As far as in following us on social media, you can follow me on almost every single platform under the handle That Chick Angel. Marcus, tell them where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram every now and then at Marcus Ain't On The Gram, because I'll be on the gram like it. And you can eventually, well, you can follow it, but it's only one post up right now at Get Man Shit
on Instagram.
That's my beard product.
Yes. Thank you for those who have already supported.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all's support.
He also has a website, which is www.manshit.com, where you can order order his beard butter for $15 plus shipping and handling. Okay, so thank you all so much.
100% natural.
Been a part of it. So Marcus, this is the time where we let people know what's been getting on our goddamn nerves here lately. Don't make me.
I had like a list of 8 things this morning.
Oh my God. That's his life. Everything irritates him. I had like a
long list of stuff. Right now, what's popping off right at the top of my head are motorcyclists in California.
Oh yeah, if you don't live in California, you don't really understand them.
Yeah, y'all don't understand them. Like, so in California, you're allowed to drive. I will say you're allowed. It's not law. However, you are allowed to drive between cars. So we have a carpool lane, which is a high occupancy lane. So if you have more than one person in the car, you can ride in that carpool lane. A lot of times it's double line. So motorcyclists grab the opportunity to ride down between traffic. Technically, they're not supposed to go more than 10 miles an hour faster than what traffic's going. A lot of them will speed down through there, like literally going 60 miles an hour faster than traffic moving. So anyway, because they're allowed to do this, they believe they have the right of way. So anyone that doesn't see them or does something that will slightly inconvenience them, they go into an uproar. I mean, I've seen them kick cars. I've seen them stop and like yell at people. They'll, you know, I understand them revving their engine to let people know they're passing, because some of these motorcycles are quiet. I actually look for motorcycles, and I've actually almost hit a couple of them because I didn't see them, because a lot of them were riding your blind spot. If you
They don't have to. I don't think you could fully explain. They don't have to ride in a lane. They can ride between two lanes.
Yeah, they can ride. It's white lining, so they can basically ride on the lane of traffic. You know, when you have to ride in the lane, they can ride on that line and go between cars. Again, it's not a law that says they're allowed to do that. They're just allowed to do it. So anyway, they believe they have the right of way. So it's kind of like they treat it like pedestrians are in California. Like a pedestrian can just walk in the middle of the street and everybody's supposed to stop because they always have the right of way. So motorcycles, they take this whole thought process above and beyond what it actually used for. Like, if I get over for you, I'm doing it out of the goodness of my heart to be considerate. I don't have to. So, I mean, and I see people like, you know, switching lanes, just doing their thing. They look for them and then they'll speed up and then they'll stop and rev their engine and yell and swing their foot at their car. I'm just like, I'm the right one to do that with, because I will always be willing to stoop to people's level of ignorance. But that's just, I see it every day in traffic and I'm like, It just drives me crazy. Just I'm sure it's that 1% that do it, but it drives me.
It's more than 1%.
Yeah, it is. It's like all of them. And like, I'm a fan of motorcycles. I used to ride motorcycles in California. It's a little crazier. So I actually look for them. I respect them. However, the ones in California, y'all need to get your crap together. Like, chill out.
What's crazy, the thing that irritates me is when traffic is at least going speed limit and they still feel the need to have to ride between the lane. It's just like, be stuck in the same type of speed that we are. Where you got to go?
It's easier when everybody's doing like 5 or 10 miles an hour. You can just go 15, 20, right down through the middle of cars. But if everybody's doing 55 or 60 and you still feel the need to pass in between cars,
it's gonna be hard for me to quickly adjust if I don't see
and
you.
And I don't quickly. I absolutely do not. I'm like, you can wait or go around. Like, well, I'll stop.
That. I just don't want to be the cause of anyone's death. That's the reason why I get frustrated, because I will be mad at that dead person for making that a part of my conscience.
Got me over here trying to swerve over and dang near sideswipe a car beside me just because you impatient.
So what's got me all frustrated is, and I've talked about it, if you all follow me on my YouTube channel, That Chick Angel TV, I talked about it in my last pregnancy update, is this thing in Hollywood of being pregnant and people considering your pregnancy a liability. That pisses me off, because it's like, none of these people who are saying that, oh, your pregnancy is a liability, we can't get things insured, da 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 da, none of them are doctors, none of them are insurance people. They're none of these things. And the fact of the matter is, it's illegal. It honestly is illegal to not hire someone based off of a medical condition that will not prevent them from doing the duties that are described in the job description. And only in Hollywood do I feel like people truly turn a blind eye to it and then defend it.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And that's why you got all these actresses having kids when they eggs is old as hell. Yeah. Like, it's just like,
ain't that why twins are so common?
Twins are common because a lot of actresses, they freeze their eggs so that they can have kids when it's more convenient in their career. And everybody should have that choice. However, it's, what do you want? Our children are over here talking to us. You want to go to bed? Go ahead.
Yeah, go potty and go bed.
So that has been irritating the mess out of me, because I'm just like, yo, like, you know, we got all these movements when it concerns women as far as in Me Too and Time's Up, as far as in sexual harassment, because that's like the feminist movement. But when it comes to a person who is choosing to have kids, they make it seem as though, like, you don't need any protection. You just, you know, the life you chose is the life you chose. It's very, it's just very agitating to me. But you know what?
It seems like that'd be, I don't know.
You're not about to block my blessing, because I'm working. I'm a pregnant working woman. Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. Blessed. What annoys me about these kids right now is they had no interest in coming out here until we told them, don't come out here, we're recording. Now they got a bunch of questions.
They children. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They children. Good guys. So what's got you feeling good this week?
Just life in general. I'm just happy.
You happy?
Yeah. Like how things are going with me personally. You know, you look at the world, it's always in utter demise.
Well, yeah, but, last week was pretty down with the passing of Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking. It really did. That hit me like, that came, of course, for everybody. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really was. It was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, why did this just happen? And I know specifically for me, it made me, I mean, because a lot of people, obviously, their hearts go out to all of his family, especially his wife, Lauren London. And for me, it definitely, like, made me just thank God, like, that my partner is still here, still alive. My kids still have their father and their mother, because obviously not everybody has that story. Our kids are still young, so I pray that they get to have us into their older age. Marcus has been, you know, me and Marcus have been blessed to still have our mothers. Marcus lost his father last year, but a lot of people don't, you know, his kids, Nipsey Hussle's kids, aren't adults. They're not getting to experience their father as an adult, but hopefully with all the work that Nipsey has done, they'll get to experience the legacy he left as an adult. It still doesn't replace the man, but
no, it doesn't. It's a blessing in disguise, I guess, because you have all these peace talks and you have everything that he was doing as far as being a young black entrepreneur trying to steer people in a different direction from which he grew up, and even the people that are still in those areas where he grew up and doing the same things he used to do. He's trying to, you know, he was always trying to re-steer their thinking process and say, you know, it's a different way you can go about, you know, becoming a person, becoming a man, or even once you are a man, doing something different with your life rather than what you see around you constantly. Only thing that's bad is, like, these messages don't get out. He was already giving that message out, but it doesn't get publicized the way he was doing it until something tragic like this happens, which I always find, it always bothers me. It's like, people don't really, they don't give a lot of credit. It's like the ghost always gets more, the death always gets more attention than the life, you know, which is sad.
Yeah.
Because all these things he was doing, which in LA, a lot of people already knew what he was doing. Like, people knew he was, you know, buying back his community, giving back to the community, just had this whole positive outlook. Like, it's really known in LA. That's why his face is up on billboards all over the place. LA was mourning. Of course, his family was felt it the worst, but like LA in general, like California was really feeling it. And I know a lot of y'all that aren't here probably saw everything that was going on here, but it's crazy how these messages don't get out until something tragic like this happens. It's like, why don't we parade this stuff around while the person is living?
Yeah. You know, the peace talks are trash to me. And let me tell you why. Not that I'm not happy about it, but it's just like, okay, it took somebody that you all looked up to being shot to see the senselessness in whatever gang violence is happening in the community. That kind of blew my mind because I was just like, our kids are just acting.
I don't care. Potty and go to bed.
So anyways, I am feeling blessed that I still, like I said, have you in my life. Regardless, there are certain things, like you said, it's a shame that they don't come about until someone's passing. As I was saying, the peace talks, that just, it blows my mind. I'm like, I don't understand where you all thought things were going to go if you all keep that side of the gang mentality. I know there are good things that come out of gang life as far as in being able to protect your community, but there's a whole lot of bad too. So I'm just like, I don't know what you expect to have happen.
Yeah.
That
part is, it's like it dissipates so quick.
Well, I mean, we don't know if it's going to dissipate. It's just, no, we'll see. Yeah.
I'm speaking of like in the past. Of course, it was a lot worse back in the day. They had it, you know, in 92 where they came together. It's gotten better since then, but then it's like it gets worse again.
Yeah. So regardless, I know that yes, in someone's passing, you begin to appreciate the things that you have because you realize life is short. So
yeah,
I do definitely appreciate you.
It's just in general. Yeah, you too. It's like in general, appreciate what you have before it's gone.
So what's got you in a good mood?
I just said life, just in general, just life, everything.
Career.
Like I said, man, shit is on and popping. People are appreciating it. I appreciate everybody who has purchased thus far. Give it a shot. You know what I'm saying? I've had conversations with people that have bought it. People that it was when I was giving it to. Actually, somebody that I gave it to last year as a sample, he still uses it like every day, like very sparingly. So that was just, the people don't give me feedback until I ask. That's what's crazy. Nah. Or they'll randomly like come out of nowhere. Like somebody I don't know, like will email me. It's like, hey, yeah, just let me know. Appreciate. I like really like, oh, thank you. But other than that, career's going well.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real good.
Okay. So
I'm happy at your place and your career too. What's going on? Why do I see all these warnings? Is it still recording?
This is, don't worry. Okay. I got this. Let me tell y'all about my husband real quick, since he wanted to try to throw me under the bus at the top of this podcast. This man does not participate in the getting this podcast up, ready, produced, anything. None of it.
Most of the time. A lot of times I do be helping, but what did I ask you to do? Let me know when you setting it up, because I did not know that was what was going on.
I was very shocked, being that he could hear the music and hear me rumbling. I didn't hear the music. But yeah, you want to throw somebody under the bus. I'm going to throw you right up under there.
Throw me under there. I live under the bus. I don't care. I'm a mechanic. I fix the bus.
Going somewhere.
I didn't hear the music, just like you didn't hear 33 cents.
You never hear the music, did you?
150 other people did.
You never hear the music.
So what are we doing? Come on, let's get to it.
So let's get a little deeper. Let's get into some relationship stuff. I feel like there are things, even though we've covered a lot, there are still a lot of things that we haven't covered that I feel like could be beneficial to our listeners. And I want to know from you, Marcus, because me and Marcus have had two different growing up. I'm not sure if you all know this. My husband was raised by his mother and father, who were married from the time that from before he was born. They were together as teenagers. His mom was a teenager all the way up, like I said, until his father.
46 years they were married.
I'm passing.
Together, like over 50.
Versus myself, my mother was not married to my father, and actually I didn't find out who my actual biological father was until I was 28 years old, 28, 29. So, and he and I had a very rocky starting off, like,
yeah,
probably one of the rockiest you've ever seen. And even the man who I thought was my biological, we didn't have a good relationship either. So I have never had a solid, this is my dad, I love this person relationship my entire life. Me and my biological are currently, we have sporadic conversations. They're a lot better now. Like, I'm not cussing him out. He's not, listen, I'm keeping it real.
Came to that.
Shut up, Marcus. I know you ain't talking.
That's different. That's completely different.
Whatever. But we have civil conversations. We're getting to know each other. But we have had very different upbringings because of that. So I was raised mainly by a single mom who had been married a couple of times sporadically through my life. So there were some like father figures in my life, but nobody that I respected as my father. So what would you say going into this life about to be a father of four, what do you feel like your upbringing has informed you in your child rearing of your own children?
Well, coming up, my daddy was kind of strict, up until, I mean, he remained strict throughout his life, but
yeah,
I saw it as strict up until I was about like 20 or so. That's when I was like, daddy, you all right. Mm-hmm. You know what they say, you smelling your own pee.
Mm-hmm.
So that part, and as I became an adult and I saw the direction of some of my friends and how they were raised, whether it was father or no father, or, you know, mother or no mother, I saw the direction that we went in. And part of the reason that I went into my particular direction is because I had a strict father.
Mm.
Not saying my mom wasn't strict too, but my father was more strict. And I had that fear, like a lot of people, you know, fear the police and fear, you know, being in trouble at school. I feared having to go home after I did something.
Mm.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I can get in trouble in school all day. However, I know this person is going to talk directly to that man and that woman. but now,
who were you more afraid of, your mom or your dad?
Daddy.
Really?
Yeah. The way when I got in trouble with my mama, it more so hurt my feelings more than anything. Because mama wouldn't spank me. She'd like smack me in the back of the head, and that just like hurt my stomach more than anything. It's like, oh my God, you know, who's boo-hooing, crying fetal position over in the corner. But daddy, he would whoop that ass. Like, daddy did not play.
Mm-hmm.
But not to say I ain't deserve any of them. I don't know if I deserved all of them. Maybe it was a misunderstanding. Probably, I don't know. I deserved it when I broke that vase. Anyway.
So how do you feel like you're raising your children is the same or different?
It's different. So because, like I said, I saw my different.
Yeah, these kids are yelling.
He's sitting there staring at his brother taking a dump. Anyway, see, I'd have had an ass whooping already.
So that's different. You don't feel like you deal out the whoopings as often?
Oh, no. These kids, no, they have it so easy. No, but so I saw that having that fear and having that respect. Not only just the fear, but it built respect. So I had that respect because I didn't want to disappoint my parents, particularly my dad and, mm-hmm. dad and mom. So it changed the way I would carry myself. You know, I did get into trouble. You know, I was a boy, I did some stupid stuff, got in some trouble. However, I did always have it in the back of my mind. You know, coming up as a teenager, a lot of stuff you ignore until, mm-hmm. you know, you do it after the fact. It's like, oh, yeah, shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
So now I see that how that strictness came into play, especially where we were growing up and living. I saw that he was definitely trying to protect me because, I mean, daddy got into a lot of trouble when he was coming up, and his dad was even more strict,
mm-hmm.
Than he was. So I don't feel like I'm nearly as strict as my dad. However, I do feel like I do carry those values down and pass them on to my father. I'll pass them on to my kids.
Say how you pass it down to your daddy.
But it's crazy. It's like now I hear myself. I hear him through me,
mm-hmm.
like just talking to him. Like I was talking to little Marcus the other day, and he was doing something, and I just remember hearing saying something, and I was, as I said it, I didn't even hear myself. I heard my daddy. It was crazy. It was like kind of a chill. I was like, dang, it sounded just like daddy.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's significant, particularly in raising boys. It's important to girls too, because I think little girls need to know what a real man, how a real man treats her. I think that's important to little girls, and I think it is good for them to have a father figure. However, it does, I hear people say all the time, like, a woman can't raise a man, which is not true, because I know a lot of really good men, grown men today, that were raised by their mother and no one else. However, it does make a huge difference when you have that father figure, whether it's their biological father or just their father figure in the house.
Yeah. You know, for me, I mean, I'm raising boys. I grew up in a house sans boys. I have no brothers that I was raised with. So having a house full of boys is definitely different than the upbringing that I had. I would say there are a couple of things that I think we all learn after being raised by our parents and looking back at over our life. We learn the things that we definitely want to do different. And for me, being raised by a single mom who worked all the time, still to this day, will be the type of person that'll have three contracts going on at the same time. My mother was not able to be as present as I would have liked her to be when I was little. So I am very, I would almost say, anal when it comes to being present in my children's life. Not that I'm the best, because I'm not over here like doing flashcards all the time with the twins, yada yada yada, but like being present at my child's school is very important to me. Being present at his extracurricular activities, I was involved in a lot of things at school, and my mom did try to make it to stuff, but it was never an expected thing for me, for my mom to be there. She was obviously, we were in church all the time. So I mean, in that instance, my mom was there. Like, we were at church together. So if there was a church play, I was going to be able to go to the church play rehearsals or whatever. But like, for me, I just felt like that part, more so than the dad part. The dad part didn't start to like bother me and not having a father figure until I became a grown woman. And I was just like, huh. This ain't right. Like, that is something that I possibly should have had. But for, you know, that wasn't the cards that I was dealt. But I know for me, and I, even my mom, she did the best that she knew how to do in the moment. So I don't hold that part against her. And I think that's the same thing. I hope that our kids are better parents than what we are, that have more patience, because I think that's one thing that me and Marcus lack a lot of times with our children. Absolutely. As you heard us yelling at them through this whole podcast, is that we don't have the patience that might get us results quicker and less stressful. But, oh well, this is where we at.
Well, our son, he has no patience for his own brother, so it must run in the family.
Yeah, it's taught behavior. When I hear him get frustrated with the twins, I hear myself, and I'm like, he's just repeating me. So I try not to get mad at him. I do try to correct him, but I realize he's only doing what I do, and that's up in here yelling at these boys because they're not doing right. But there are certain things that I do try to instill in my boys that I feel like I learned from my mom. Do you feel like there are things that you try to repeat to your boys? That your I know one thing that Marcus does that I've watched you do. Marcus is very handy, and I feel like a lot of his handiness comes from his father. Like especially when it comes around this house.
Yeah.
Like his y'all father.
See that right there? It's the end of the day. That's why we ain't got no patience right now.
His father was a very good homeowner. Like, he took care of their house very well. Like, half of the stuff, my mother has never been a homeowner. So half the stuff that I would see his father do around the house, like, especially after he retired, I was just like, do people do that?
Like, yeah, daddy was building additions onto the house. And
Yeah. And value. So like, these are the things. Marcus will be sitting in the house and you'd be like, you hear that? And I'll be like, did I hear? Like, he listens to the noises in the house. And then knows what the noise is, and then goes fixes whatever the noise is. Like, And I know
yeah,
those
AC
are things.
AC was messed up. What was that last summer?
Oh my
I was
God.
Like, you don't hear that?
I was like,
no. She was like, no. I'm like,
I hear
that's
these
the
kids.
AC unit, Angel.
So I know that's like something that you're trying to teach your child that's not interested in it, as far as in, but I also see him picking up some things, which I'm not sure if you noticed, but I see when he picks up stuff. So is there any other like things that you feel like your father passed down to you that you are trying to give to your sons? I know they're very young, so it's some of the stuff is not going to happen until they're a little bit older.
The twins, it's like nothing yet, but like Marcus, the oldest son, I definitely try to, my dad always instilled like what it is to be a man. Like he would always give me these little snippets, like when he was teaching me how to tie a tie, he was like, a man should know how to tie a tie. You know, you shouldn't have to go to somebody else or go to a woman or anybody else to tie your tie. This is something you should do. Like little stuff like wear a watch that makes you, that means that you have, you being on time is important to you. Being on schedule is important to you. Why are they back out of bed?
Just ignore them. Just keep going.
I can hear them more than I can hear myself.
I can hear you very fine. It's okay.
Anyway, so it's like especially like anything that like he struggles with, same things that I used to struggle with, my dad would always like try to coach me out of that, you know, not giving up or, you know, believing in yourself and that type of stuff. So I just try to tell my son those same things. But again, also taking care of your environment and things you're around, things you own. You know, if you show pride and ownership, then more will come to you. If you appreciate what you have, show that your appreciation for those things, more will continue to come to you. So I try to teach him that stuff. It sees a little slower on catching on to that of, you know, taking care of all your stuff. It's why Angel sees now I'm extremely particular about everything that I have. Like everything has its own place. It
so
should
particular.
Be exactly where it is. If I'm not using it, if it's not being used, then it should be right in that moment and in proper condition. To whereas he has a lot of his mom in him, I'm trying to get that out of him.
You are blessed that he has a lot of me in him.
To get
thank
that
God.
Whole, you know, taking care of your stuff and keeping everything in order. But it's like stuff like that.
Now, the biggest thing that I want to teach our boys, in which I feel like I am, the biggest thing my mother gave me was the faith that I have. Like, I realized later in life how valuable my faith is, and that truly is the biggest thing my mother gave us. There, I mean, obviously, there are several things that I wish she would have given me, like how to actually do finance as well. But she's still, you know, struggling with that. Like, I'll probably learn that before she does. Or how to leave an inheritance. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are things that I do want to be able to pass down to my children. But the biggest thing is faith. My faith. I feel like my faith has been the thing that has kept me in, you know, as you said, your dad going home and disappointing your dad was a big thing. I did not want to disappoint God. That was like the Lord was truly my father. And I'm dead serious. While I wasn't a virgin when we got married, I could have been way more promiscuous growing up. Not as promiscuous as you, obviously. Like I said, we're still trying to get the filth off of you. But I really was disappointed in myself when I didn't make it to marriage, as far as in holding myself for marriage, because I truly wanted to make God proud of me in my actions of keeping the things that he, the Bible says are important to him. So while I don't know what faith our children will walk in when they are adults, I know the foundation that they will have will be the same as mine. So that's like a huge, huge thing. Like, I will feel like I have succeeded. I could have failed in many other areas, but I'll feel like I've succeeded as a parent if my children have the same type of dependency and assurance in their faith as I have in mine. Because I feel like that has been the thing that has kept me when things have been so wrong, has truly been the faith that I walk in. Now, what do you feel like in parenting is so much different, like, than what you thought it was going to be? Like, did you ever have a vision of what parenting was going to be like for you?
No, not really. I didn't never like foresee like, oh, when I have a child, I'm going to do this or do that, or this is the type of parent I want to be. Like with me, it's just like take it as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, handle it as it comes.
What I realize is different is that I cannot determine what my children's perception of me is going to be like.
Like, oh, I know what mine is.
No, like I know my son loves me and he doesn't think that I'm a jackass, but I can only imagine when he's an adult and able, and some like life has hit him and he's able to have a real like an understanding of how we parented, what his perception of me will be. Because I would say our perception of our mothers and even of probably you of your father changed drastically once you became an adult. Like, I think there's a pedestal, even if we're judging them hard on the pedestal, there's a pedestal we put them on, and it's not until we become adults and we see they are just as flawed as us, if not more so, that kind of just, you know, there's this thing that I feel like happens in life, and I feel like you probably feel it too, where there's a shift where it almost feels like we're becoming the parents to our parents. Do you feel that?
A little bit.
Kinda. I feel like, I mean, I have seen you feel like you have had to go behind your mother and like tell people, you know, such and such and such and such, when we both know your mama's grown, and she could say these things to these people, but she's choosing not to. And you don't feel that way?
Yeah, but that's still not like I see that view that different from like you said, like putting them on this pedestal and then like parenting them. I don't know. I just don't.
To me, that's parenting. Like, I would never feel like, I'm sure as a child, you never felt like you needed to defend your mama to another adult. Maybe if, like, obviously if a child your age says something about your mama, you gonna check him real quick. But like in instances where you know fully that your mother could have control over the situation, but she's choosing not to, you have the tendency to want to.
Yeah, I just view that as being, I view that as being, that's my mother, and I'm now a grown man. So like you go from being,
but then
I feel
why?
Like,
then
I feel
then
like
why?
In that aspect, you go from being the protected to the protector because it is your parents, and you're now a grown person.
Right. That's the same thing. Like,
okay.
I mean, you can call it a different word, but like as parents are supposed to protect their children.
Until then, a certain point, yeah.
And then at some point in time in adulthood, it's like there's a switch where it's just like, because there have been times where you've had to pull back, where you've had to be like, no, I'm not, you know what?
Yeah.
If that, you know what I'm saying? It's like a thing of, you know, when a parent even does that with a child of, we want to teach them. Then sometimes we're like, you know what? They just going to have to learn.
Have to learn their lesson.
They just going to have to learn. And that has been, I'm afraid of when that happens with with our children, because I'm probably going to feel it. I'm probably going to see it, because I know I struggle with that with my mother.
We both struggle with that with our parents, like when it comes to technology. That's how we know we're getting older. Like,
yeah.
That's one where I definitely see it, like exactly what you're saying. It's like we trying to teach them, all right, mama, this is how you use FaceTime, or this is how you use, what is the Google one that we use?
Google Hangout.
Yeah, Hangout. I'm like, so all you got to do, or even Marco Polo, all you got to do is hit this button.
And then it's
and
like,
that's it. And it don't happen. Like,
it's just like they don't get it. But, you know, that's one small thing, obviously, as technology evolves. But I still even feel like there are certain life things that we feel like, because we understand fully that our parents grew up in the 50s, that life was a lot different for them, mm-hmm. and they only had access to certain things. And we have access to a lot more knowledge. So we are able to make choices with more knowledge behind us.
Yeah.
So there are certain things where we're just like, no, you might not want to do it that way because da-da-da-da-da. And I'm afraid when that day comes with my son, because he's already being exposed to more things than you were exposed to.
Yeah.
And more things probably now than I've been exposed to. And that will then make him smarter than what we are when he gets to our age. And I'm going to be looking at him like, why are you teaching me? I feel like I'm going to feel some type of way about it. I don't know.
No, it's still like financial lessons that they were telling me that I'm still learning to this day.
With your parents?
Yeah, absolutely. Because my parents are very good with finances and managing their money. Worlds better than what me and Angel are. Like so much better. So I'm still like learning those, like, okay, I remember them saying this, or that's why he used to do that, or that's why they did this.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm definitely, like I said, I'm not looking forward to that day, but I know the day is coming and I feel it creeping up on me, even at only having a 9-year-old. So you all chime in the comments. What, if you're a parent, what things do you feel like have completely changed in your mind when it comes to parenting regarding like what you thought you were going to parent like and what you are parenting like, especially in regards to, in relation to how your parents raised you? Because I feel like every generation does it differently. And, you know, we're in a generation now where parents like to let their children raise themselves because it's like a whole new parenting thing. I'm not here for it. I'm going to be raising my kid. But like things are different. Advice that is given to parents by professionals is completely different than what it was when our parents were growing up. So leave comments below if you're watching.
Who are these professionals?
The like how many American kids do they Pediatric, have? You know, the American Pediatric Association swears to God that spanking your child has no Yikes. Behavioral benefit to them. And I just don't agree. And there are people who will be like, you have lost your mind if you think spanking works. And I'm like, it does. I don't know what children they're interviewing. But yeah, I mean, granted, as you've all heard this podcast, this is the reason why our kids acted up. They didn't get spanked enough.
Yeah, I wouldn't be doing this if my parents told me, go lay down. I was in the bed laying down.
I'm
going to wait for them to go to sleep before I get up to use the bathroom because I got to go right now. You don't have to tell me 5 or 6 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Ass whoopings would have fixed all of that.
All of it. All of it. So leave the comments if you're watching on if you're listening on SoundCloud or if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment in response to that. This is now time in the podcast where we'll read the comment of the week. This was left a month ago because obviously we haven't done a podcast in a month. This was by Monique Brinklin. She says, oh, I felt your pain, Angel. Keep your head up, Marcus. I appreciate you being so attentive and sensitive to her needs. It's great to see. Sending love, hugs, and positivity to you both. God has a plan in it all. Continue to trust that even when you don't understand. Oh, wait. Then the outtakes happened. I love y'all. Love the topic. I completely relate. When you connect with God on a different level, you hear much more clearly. Thank you so much, Monique.
Was that when you was over here crying? Yes. About your employment situation?
About the employment, about the baby. I was crying about the baby first. What are you talking about?
What about the baby?
Thinking that we're having a boy. How can you forget? Right. Oh, my
God. It was that long ago. You ain't been on top of it.
Oh, my gosh.
You got movie premieres to go to and stand-ups to go to. We could have had these up a couple times.
Oh, it's all me?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Y'all pray for his lying soul.
All right. Well, y'all catch us next week.
Not next week. We don't do
that. We need to do it next week to catch up.
To catch up to what?
Because you've been slacking. I'm putting them up.
Y'all. I'm gonna slap my husband.
All right. Okay, y'all guys. I gotta get up off here because I gotta go to bed and get up in the morning.
Of course, he's gotta go to bed to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Y'all be blessed.
Somebody's career likes them enough.
Wait till we file taxes to see who career liked who's better.
We'll
you
see.
If you wanna get smart with it, we need to file for an extension. Taxes is due tomorrow. Why I got to do everything?
Because that's your era. What you just
I gotta
say?
Raise he sits the here kids.
And listens to the house
to
and knows
edit.
What's going on.
I got to
you wouldn't have
podcast.
No AC lights. You would have bugs crawling all up in through his house.
No.
Yeah.
No, because
that's your part.
Fix
this
it.
Is my part.
Why I got all? I feel like I got all the parts that
yeah,
happen on
do,
a frequent
you don't
basis.
See, because you didn't pick the right parts. I did.
No,
I'm just stay on top of my parts.
You know
my
what?
Parts
I'm
going
to start refusing to do certain parts, and then you have to do those parts.
That's fine. I'm going to do the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
I ain't got no problem with hiring somebody now.
Me either.
Listen. Now things got fixed you in my house. My mother.
Money, you know, I put some money down to hire somebody to do something.
You won't let me hire a maid?
Because you're the one messing it up.
Okay, well, I'm going to hire the maid.
No, you're not.
You're going to tell me who I'm
wasting
hire.
Money.
Oh.
Like washing a car in the rain. What's the point?
Y'all, I'm going to pop this disrespectful man. So hopefully we'll have another podcast and he'll have teeth. All right, guys. Y'all be blessed and we'll talk to you later.
Y'all have a good one.
Bye.